Hey, that's very good. It is great to see you all this morning. Not only is it great to sing songs, but really provoke us to thought, I think, as well. Because as you're singing the words, you know, if you're anything like me, you're thinking, actually, well, you know, what does that mean for me? You know, how does that fit into my life? And so it provokes all these questions, and I think that that is a very, very good thing, that you know, when we come to church, it provokes questions. Some of you, I don't know all of you, I do know many of you, but some of you might be the first time you've been to church. You might think, well, I've never really thought much about God. And some of you might go further than that and say, actually, I don't believe that there is a God, not like the God that you want to worship. And so it does provoke all these questions. And so just reminded me, actually, even as we were singing, that we went into one of the local primary schools this week. We work with 11 primary schools in the locality, doing various different things, but at least assemblies every half term and some lessons as well. And so we went into a group of two groups of seven-year-olds, actually, on Wednesday morning. And they prepared a list of questions for us. These weren't prepared by the teachers. These were prepared by the kids. And we since found out that, actually, seven-year-old children in junior school have philosophy lessons. I thought philosophy was like for university people or something like that. So obviously education has changed since I went to school. These were some of the things that the kids asked. Why and how did God create the world? Thought, it's a fantastic question. What is the meaning of Jesus' name? If you could meet Jesus, what would you ask him? Fantastic question. What do you believe God is? What is God? That'd be a great question for us this morning, wouldn't it? And do you believe the miracles happened exactly as they were told, or do you think they've all been exaggerated? I can remember trying to answer that question to a very bright seven-year-old this week. And I said, well, actually, unless, you know, a miracle did seem like it was exaggerated, then it probably wouldn't be a miracle, would it? But they do. These things do cause us to think about a number of things. And I think when we see people getting baptized, this might not be the first baptism for you. You may have seen other members of your family baptized, or something like that. But it does cause you to stop and think. And you know, I never stop thinking. And when Zoe and Annie Kate are going to be sharing their stories briefly soon, I'll be thinking then, you know, I wonder how they came to that point. I wonder what it was that brought them to this point this morning, because neither of them are actually, you know, usually standing up at the front saying anything on a Sunday morning. Annie Kate would often like to, but she doesn't. But they aren't public speakers, and yet they speak so confidently about what it is that has happened to them. My parents took me along to Selby Abbey to get christened when I was a few months old, and I have to say, it didn't work. Nothing happened. I never went to church again for 20 years. And obviously, when I was 20 years old, I was in a position to make up my own mind. I was in a position to make a decision for myself. And it is the same for Annie Kate and for Zoe this morning, that they have come to a point in their lives when they want to make a decision to at least make a public profession of their faith. That is the point that they have come to. And they have chosen this route for themselves. And Annie Kate came down to meet Angela this week, as did Zoe, and they had a chat through what they felt they would want to say when they met you all this morning. And Annie Kate, a quote that I just p- picked up from what Annie Kate said was the biggest reason why I want to get baptized is that you don't know how long a life you're going to have. And I want to make sure that I spend my life with God. I thought that was a fantastic. It's a bit philosophical as well, isn't it, actually? It's a big philosophical week for us this week. But it does say in the New Testament part of the Bible, it does say, therefore, if anybody is in Christ, if anybody is a Christian, he is a new, or she obviously, is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. We'll get that up on the board for you so you can consider that even as I carry on to talk. Therefore, if anybody is in Christ or is a Christian, they are a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. So something has happened, and that's what they're going to tell you. And a very learned person in the Bible came up to Jesus. I think he came, it said, in the dead of the night, because he was supposed to know stuff. He was a teacher of the people of Israel and held in high respect. And he says, what's this thing about being born again? You see, we think being born again comes from America. Actually, it comes from first century Palestine. And Jesus said, really, you've got to be born again. And nobody can inherit the kingdom of God unless they're born again. And, you know, I think that we have got to, in life, keep looking forward. At least if you are wise, you will keep looking forward. And for Christians, there is a hope for us, which the Bible says is a little bit different to the hope that many of us have had at some point in our lives, a kind of, well, maybe this will happen and maybe it won't, but we're giving it our best shot and we're crossing our fingers and we're hoping. The hope in the Bible is not like that. The hope that the Bible gives us, it tells us, is something that is absolutely certain, something that we can be assured is going to happen. And so if you keep looking forward, I would say that's because you are a wise person, and Annie Kate speaks something of that. And two other people in the Bible said that they didn't look what was behind them, but that they looked forward. The Apostle Paul, who I guess arguably wrote most of the New Testament part of the Bible, said that. And Jesus himself said, you know, it's daft to keep looking back, because if you keep looking back, you're going to be all over the place. And he made a reference to somebody plowing a field. He said, if you keep looking back, you're going to be walking like you're drunk plowing it. And I think when we consider that, I think if we do keep looking back, our lives can be all over the place. Because what is behind us can conjure up all kinds of memories. It might not be what's happening in the here and now. And some of those memories can be good, and some will certainly be bad. But even if we go to a counselor, you know, the counselors tell us, let's look back. Let's look back. And I think that sometimes can be a dangerous thing. Let's look back to your adolescence. Let's look back to your childhood. And we've got a tendency to look back. But here in Scripture it says, we're not looking back, we're looking forward. And I guess that's what Zoe and Annie Kate are doing this morning. And I think there are things in our past that influence what we do in the future. And we certainly do things because of our past, our upbringing, our schooling, all kinds of things like that. I'm increasingly getting told that I am like my dad, which I'm not sure is the best is the best thing, really, because I would see things that I want to change. But as Christians, we keep looking to the future. And I guess that is because as Christians, it involves doing something, not just going somewhere. I'll say that again because I think that's important. Being a Christian involves doing something, not just going somewhere. Going somewhere for me, 20 years before I became a Christian, 50 odd years since now, it didn't change anything for me. I went into Selby Abbey. Somebody prayed with the best intentions that somehow I would, you know, become a good person and that I would follow God. And they even called out some adults that were there to be my godparents. two of which I've never even met since that day. I don't know whether that's been a benefit or whatever, but it's not just about going somewhere. Something else has got to happen in our lives. And I didn't think of this illustration, I must say. I found this illustration. I found this illustration on the interweb, where a lot of good things, but a lot of bad things, are found as well. Okay, so I thought about this rope, and I'm going to throw it out. It's 5 meters long. Okay, so it goes down behind the. Oops, it did. It goes down behind the baptistry there. But really, I want you to imagine that this rope is like a timeline of your whole existence. Let me throw it out. I was going to get 10 meters, but that cost me 14 quid. So I was a bit tight, to be honest. But this rope, pretend it's the timeline of your existence. And if it went through that door and out through the back door and even right round town, that would better illustrate what this rope is supposed to mean for us. Because this rope is a timeline of your existence, and that rope is supposed to go on into eternity. And then we've got this little part of the rope there, just that one little bit. And that little bit, can anybody think what that might represent? Our life on earth. Very good, Teresa, you're thinking ahead. It's our life on earth, and that represents what we are now. And we only get a few short years here on earth, but we're going to get an eternity somewhere else, the Bible says, and I'm sure you know that anyway. But what we would believe is either in a great place with God or in a not very good place with somebody else. And what blows me away is that all some of you think about is that little bit there. And I would say that is a dangerous thing. Now, Christianity is about a personal relationship with God, and I think, you know, we have to make our own decisions. That's why these two young ladies are here this morning, because they've made their own decision. But we are often consumed with that one small bit when we don't think about the rest of our time. I don't know about you, but my granny always used to say, when you get older, the years go fast. Have you heard that expression? Well, I am coming up to 56, and I want to tell you, the years are going fast. I cannot believe we're nearly halfway through this year. It seems like 2 minutes ago that it was Christmas to me. I don't know about to you. Maybe it is my age. But we think, oh, I can't wait. I can't wait while I am here. I can't wait while I'm here. And so what we do is we work hard, and we say to ourselves, I'm going to work really hard, and I'm going to save, 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 so I can enjoy that bit. So I can enjoy that bit of my life. And when we think about it, it's like, whoa, how daft is that? But it's not just daft. In some ways, it's sad. Angela's auntie, she did that. She was a very wise lady. She did very well in her career. She managed a very large post office. She had a substantial pension. And she worked and worked and worked and paid off a mortgage. And she said, when I get to that part there, I'm going to live my life. She died 2 months after she retired. And sadly left all the money to a solicitor, because the will was contested and the solicitor did the best out of it, to be honest. But I think, are you kidding me? You know, what about this part of the rope? What about all the rest of that rope? What about our eternity? Well, the Bible does say what you do in this bit determines what you do in that bit there. And so why would I spend just that little part trying to be as comfortable as possible when Paul said, and various people in the Bible said, actually, I'm going to consider what happens at this end of the scale. And I don't know about you, but I think that that is very, very important. And so we need to consider, I think, to remember about what's going to happen for the rest of the rope. You may say, you're stupid. You know, you're giving up your life to go to church. Couldn't you be doing something else on a Sunday morning? Couldn't you be going to Scarborough or something like that? It's become a bit of a personal joke in King's Church. There's nothing wrong with Scarborough. But we have asked our people this question over a number of weeks. I haven't just prepared it for you guys who are visitors this morning. We have considered over these last weeks, would we be better off in Scarborough, or would we be better off worshipping God? And that is a question to all of us. But, you know, am I daft in, you know, giving up some things, as people might see it, in this part, so that I can try and make sure as best as I can what happens in that part? And I think that that is quite a wise thing. And so, seriously, can we live just for that and forget all of that? Well, we can, but I'm not sure that it is the best thing to do. And so we're going to hear now from two very young people who, it would seem, are already making decisions that will shape their life for what's ahead. And I must say, in what we understand what the Bible says, they are not going to go into this water and come out perfect. If you're looking for them to go into that water and come out perfect, then they're not going to be able to live up to that. But if we could say they're going to go into that water and come up changed, I really believe that that is going to happen. And we are going to be continually being changed. And so let's hear from these two, shall we, because I've said enough. Okay, Annie Kate and Zoe, are you ready? Great. If you want to bring anybody up to encourage you or to stand by you, that is absolutely fine. Are you baptizing, son? Great. Okay, yeah. So if you two girls would like to come out, and where's that stuck? Right. It's going to have to stay there. What kind of height? Have you worked out who's going to go first? You're going first, Zoe, okay? So, can we really just welcome these two as they come up? It's a nervous time. Whoa. Okay, are you ready?
The first time I came to King's Church with my friends, I remember I was sat in the back corner crying non-stop. I'd wanted to start going to church for a while, but my anxiety was stopping me. I'd been brought up as a Christian, but I didn't have a relationship with Jesus. From a young age, I struggled with depression and anxiety, and I was bullied a lot. You can imagine my relief and excitement when my dad told me that he had accepted a job in France. I was so excited for a fresh start away from the bullies. I was 13 when we moved, but sadly, school now made me super anxious and I didn't feel I could trust anyone. Soon the bullying started again and I lost the will to live. I was hospitalized and moved to a hospital further away as I was deteriorating. I remember when our vicar from our church came by and prayed. I started to get better and made a full recovery. I believe that God answered a lot of prayers and healed me. When I turned 17, we moved to Singapore. I struggled with culture shock and my anxiety got worse. I had horrible panic attacks and awful insomnia. I saw a therapist and was prescribed lots of different medications. I developed anorexia and I controlled the painful memories of my past by over-exercising, fasting, and restricting my food. I started a modeling career and I did really well for a few years. I then got involved with the wrong people. and I became addicted to the wrong things. I'm so grateful that my parents moved us away. That saved my life. Over the years, my eating disorder got worse, and I was hospitalized a lot. It got to the point where I couldn't keep food down, and I was unable to work as I was so unwell. I was hospitalized again, and I was determined that I was going to recover this time. I met another Christian girl, and we began to have worship and prayer sessions together. This really helped me to connect with Jesus and my treatment. I remember Ange giving her testimony about her struggles with her eating disorder, and this really touched me. I received prayer after the service, and God would speak to me. I started to enjoy singing again, and every night when I did my prayer journal, I would worship. The words hold such beautiful power, and I found that I was ruminating on God's words rather than my own thoughts of guilt and shame. I have known his forgiveness from my sins, and Jesus has helped me and shown me how to forgive those that have caused me pain. The more I grew in my faith with Jesus, the more I was healed. I even saw an angel one night. I was so excited. Despite still struggling with my mental and physical health problems, I'm able to push through with Jesus in my heart. He fills me with his Holy Spirit and washes me with his peace. Praise be to God.
Okay, I think it'd be good if you did it again. Otherwise, Zoe's going to be waiting dripping while she listens to what you've got to say. Is that okay? You ready?
Yeah. This is a little bit about me and the reasons why I want to get baptized. As most of you know, I've been going to King's Church since I was a baby. I went to church because I felt like I had to, and to be honest, it sometimes felt like a chore. When I got older, I started to look forward to going to church, especially into kids' work, where I learnt about God and Jesus and all about the stories in the Bible. I would sometimes get disappointed when it was cancelled. I also really look forward to Questers, which is kids' work for older children. Just recently, during the notices, when Dave said, "Does anyone else want to get baptised?" I felt like God just said, "This is the time, Annie Kate, the time to be born into my family." When I am in worship, I sometimes have a sense that God is telling me something in a picture or with words. In the past, I wanted to sing my heart out, but often I didn't because I felt like people would judge me. But now I know that no one will, and I was worrying about nothing. One day, Mummy encouraged me to go upstairs and listen to worship music and read my Bible, but I didn't want to, so I stomped off in a grump. Now when I spend time with God, I enjoy it and it's fun. The biggest reason why I want to get baptized is that you don't know how long a life you are going to have, and I want to spend the rest of mine with God. And I not only believe in Jesus, but I want to follow him as well. Thank you.
Okay, whoa, two amazing stories. Obviously different because everybody is different. It's not some kind of brainwashing that makes everybody come out and say the same thing, because everybody has got their own story and everybody's at a different stage in their lives. But what is going to happen now is that Carl and Sonia are just going to help Zoe. They're just going to baptize her by what is termed full immersion. So we understand that the word baptize in its original form, as we understand it, is about fully immersing something in water. So the original word for baptism was to dip or to dunk something, and people often use it in reference to like dyeing cloth and various things like that. And so that is where we get baptizing from, that it has to actually be dipped in and go right under. And so that is our understanding of it. And of course, it's for believers. So Carl is going to say now, or Sonia, whichever one, upon the profession of your faith, we now baptize you. And so I wasn't able to profess my faith when I went into Selby Abbey. I wasn't old enough. I didn't have an understanding of what I was doing. But these two very certainly do have an understanding of what they're doing now. And so upon the profession of their faith, they're going to be baptized. And please feel free to take photos if you like. We don't have any restrictions around that. So if you're part of the family or friends and you want to take photos, we're quite happy for you to do that. Okay, Cal? Okay, now Annie-Kate. Very good. Very well done. Okay, I wonder, that just about brings us to a close, but I wonder if our musicians could come back, if that is possible, please. We're just going to repeat one of our songs. In a building this age, we're quite restricted for our changing facilities, so we've not got a fantastic changing room, but if we let them go off and get changed for a couple of minutes before we go through there, that will be helpful for them. Okay, and then hopefully you're going to stick around. You can ask any questions that you like, either to Annie-Kate and to Zoe or to us, if you have any questions. And but we're going to celebrate what we've seen this morning, and amazing what God has done in people's lives. So, okay.